Welcome to Freedomizer Radio on this glorious Saturday. This three-hour time slot brings you the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory, and the second and third hour features Team Free State. Enjoy the show.
Sabbath Hour. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God because that's what I talk about all the time. that's my favorite and just about my only subject, although I will talk about a lot of other things. I'll get it around to the kingdom of God. I raise sheep and cows and try to gather a network of people who care as much about each other as they do themselves. And that's really hard because it's hard to find anybody who doesn't care about themselves more than others. But we keep giving it a shot and trying it. Our website is hisholychurch.org, and you can join a network there. But that network is not a discussion network. We have discussion groups separately, but the network is for the purposes of networking for people that are seeking to connect with other people who care as much about their neighbor's rights as they do their own. And unfortunately, because we are associated with the word church, people think that it's like all the other churches out there, which are really interested in gathering people to their congregation to increase their tithing, to become important and be looked up to on their pedestal or pulpit, whatever you want to call it. And that's not what we're about. We're about following Christ, learning who Christ was, doing things the way he said to do them, because we believe that Jesus Christ, Moses, and Abraham came to teach us how to form a government that sets men free. And we think that's a valuable thing, because I see that if men are not free and they give power to men to rule over them, whether it's from their pulpit or from their governments, that they will eventually be ruled over in such contempt that they will be led into destruction and they will be abused and become nothing more than amusement of tyrants and not so untitular leaders. In the kingdom of God, the leaders are titular. They don't exercise any authority over the people. They are merely servants, public servants. Clergy comes from the word liturgy, cleric. All these concepts were words that had to do with public service, and that's because the church originally was a government that served the people, but it was a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And Christ was its head, but he ruled through the hearts and minds of the people. All the taxes in the kingdom of God are paid voluntarily by men with free will offerings. That's really unique. That's what used to be one of the most common forms of government, voluntary contributions of the people to their community to help out the needy of their community, help out in the time of war, help out in the time of pestilence or cataclysm or catastrophe. And they created bonds by doing this. We don't do that anymore. We elect men who rule over us, who exercise authority, compel us to abide by their laws. How did we get to this point? We think that's normal. We don't know any better. Well, we get to that point of thinking because we actually don't do much thinking ourselves. We're subject to the thoughts and thinking of other people. now with mass media, TVs, was with newspaper. I remember Thomas Jefferson warned that that you would be better informed if you never read the newspaper. He hadn't even seen TV yet, because TV will misinform you left and right. They control your thinking. They control your emotions. They control your attitudes. Of course, you've all gone to public school and read out of school books written by men who went to public school, and steadily, you know, that's, I have a collection of school books. It goes way back. And you can literally watch, as you read the history books, history changing before your eyes. They alter the way we view history long before 1984. And they're controlling our minds that way. They don't have to have machines in MK Ultra or anything like that. They got you pretty much under control now. The New World Order is here already. They're just trying to figure out how to break it to you. And what you have to do is actually start thinking. And one of the important parts of starting thinking is stop thinking. Stop thinking as a knee-jerk reaction to what you see, what you hear around you. People can say phrases or words, and they can change you emotionally. They can change the pattern of your thoughts by just saying certain words, saying them a certain way, playing a certain music, and you slip into an attitude. And that's because your subject, in order to become or reach a place where you're not subject to all these outside influences, we used to call them in the seminary, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, the world, that's a lot of influence. Music, media, all these things influence your thinking. The flesh, well, your own hormones, your own emotional reactions that are often stimulated by hormones and also can be stimulated by thought. I mean, if you think, sit around thinking angry thoughts towards your neighbor, that's going to have a physical reality that appears in your body. If you're going to sit around being afraid all the time about things that aren't even happening right now, that's going to have a physical reality played out in your body. It's going to make you tired. It's going to make you susceptible to disease. It's going to make you susceptible to the manipulations of other people. So you have the world, the flesh, and then we have the devil. There's an actual spiritual influence. Some might put it on a quantum level. And I'll tell you a story about the 100 monkeys. I told people this morning I would be talking about the 100 monkeys, the 100th monkey. There's an island off the coast of Japan. It's full of monkeys, and they actually have people that go by in boats and keep an eye on the monkeys. There's no people on it. It's just covered with monkeys. And there's fruits and things that grow there, and the monkeys survive on these islands. And there's another island pretty far away, but where they can't see each other, and yet it's much like the other with monkeys on it. And they notice one day in the observations, writing it down, the biologists who are checking on them, notice that there was a monkey that would go down to the water and wash a certain fruit in the water, and if you washed it long enough, it would get less bitter so that they could actually eat it, washing it in the salt water. And he did this regularly, and he would eat the fruit. And then after a long while, a couple other monkeys started doing it. They saw him and started emulating this concept of washing the fruit. They didn't necessarily know how he thought of this or where he got the idea or what it was doing, but they noticed he washed the fruit and then he ate the fruit. And he didn't necessarily share it with anybody else, so they didn't know what he was doing, but they started doing it too. All of a sudden, one day, all kinds of monkeys on that island started to wash their fruit and make it less bitter so that they could eat it. The interesting point of the story is, at the same time, on the other island, where the monkeys could not see the original monkeys, they started doing the same thing at the same time. Because, why? How come the monkeys over there all changed at the same time the other monkeys, miles away on another island, changed? There's all kinds of stories in nature about this, where when they first put up electric fences, these New Zealand fences out in Australia, the water buffalo would charge the fences and bust them all to pieces. And they kept breaking the fences because they didn't understand them. They weren't used to having this barrier. And then all of a sudden, one day, all over the outback, they stopped doing that. Just all of a sudden, just within a real short period of time, they all stopped charging the fences because they all got it. It's what they call collective consciousness. We see it in mass hysteria in people. Even without news media and stuff, there's places like in South America where all of a sudden villages would like go nuts. There would just be like this mass hysteria because of a series of events, and all of a sudden everybody just kind of go nuts. It's a phenomenon that has occurred throughout the centuries, and it has to do with this collective consciousness that actually is spiritual or metaphysical or quantum or however you want to put it. You can put all kinds of names on it, but it's a reality. We see the evidence of it in nature. We see the evidence in society. Right now, society is suffering from collective unconsciousness. We have been lulled into a vast system of sleep and what we call a strong delusion. And we can't think outside of that delusional box that we've been put in. Any thought that occurs that does not occur collectively, we can't seem to fathom it. Some people are waking up through the grace of God and beginning to think outside of that delusional box. Most people don't even know there is a box. And they're trying to encourage other people, but it isn't, if you just explain the truth to them, you're dealing with them on the level of the world and the flesh. You're not dealing with them on the level, the quantum level of the spirit. And so you have to, and so how do you get from this intellectual explanation or emotional cry to the spiritual level? Well, you have to get on that spiritual level. And I read it this morning when I was talking on Blog Talk. I think that's when I read it. John 3:15, and you talk about I have to get the right mouse here. I'm always having trouble with that when I've got dual computers running. Anyway, I wonder what happened to my mouse. I can't find it anywhere. It's moving on the other computer, you idiot. But anyway, I thought I would pull it up here so you could read it, because it's really kind of an important thing that we began to think outside the box. And so we're going to take a look at part of the box, and then we're going to carry you to the edge of the box, and then we're going to intellectually present the outside of the box and see what you can do about it. Now, again, you're going to need the spiritual awakening to actually understand this. And the thing with spiritual things is there are so many different levels to that spiritual understanding, because the spirit is the infinite. I've got it pulled up now, but I won't read it yet. I actually will tell you something else that was occurring to me. We had a video sent to us to entertain the kids and educate them, and it was on, you know, Universe, and it was kind of a BBC, I think, production. And it was really rooted in the Big Bang Theory, which I think is just hysterical, the Big Bang Theory, because nobody ever explains where the Big Bang came from or what was exploding. You know, that almost all atheists believe in the Big Bang Theory, but they don't explain who lit the match to cause this original explosion, who set the dynamite or whatever it was that exploded. That they never even get to that. Hawkins, as an example, who is real promotion that there is no God and all this stuff. You know, when they're reasoning with this supposed genius, you get back to a certain point and they say, well, looking at the complexity of life and the abundance of life and all these different things, that there would have to be some sort of interference in order to produce what we have today. so where did that come from if it wasn't from God? And he says, oh, probably extraterrestrials. So, well, you know, Jesus Christ is an extraterrestrial. He's not from this planet, so that would make him extraterrestrial. The reality is these guys are playing. They're not much different than your modern preacher. They just have a different religion. The Big Bang Theory is the idea that everything was created at one time and is hurtling out through space, disseminating like sand on the beach, where you can make a sandcastle, but eventually the wind will erode it and disperse it, and that's what's happening to the universe. It's slowly dispersing, and eventually, after billions and billions of years, will eventually dissolve into nothing. Well, this is the predominant theory being taught, but it doesn't fit what people like the Thunderbolt people are seeing. You can look that up, Google that up, Thunderbolt. These guys have a much different perspective of the universe, and their predictions are hitting right on the money. When they do tests in space, when they see things occurring in space, they say what's going to happen next, and they're hitting it right on the money. And how is that? Because they're seeing a bigger picture than what modern scientists come up with this goofy Big Bang Theory are seeing. And they're actually thinking outside the box, while the Big Bang Theory people are trying to create a box. And the idea with them is that eventually we fade away into nothing. But there's a sustainable universe, a renewable universe, because creation, as we know it, objects moving in space, table in front of you, the floor beneath your feet, is simply composed of vibrating essence of some sort. Some people call it ether. And what started it vibrating? Well, what started it vibrating was spiritual thought. You are made in the image of God. We were all made in the image of God. We've been somewhat remade by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they would like to keep remaking you in their own image. But originally you were made in the image of God, and the image of God allowed him to think a thought and create. You actually create with your thoughts. You actually are causing things to come into being with your thoughts. Fortunately, you're pretty much unplugged from God, so your energy level is very low, and you're not able to create very much, but you do have this creative power of God built into your nature. Mostly what your creative power does is cause you to get ill and maybe make people around you ill or at least irritate the heck out of them. But you do have a creative power in you that is influencing the world and the universe around you. And right now, very clever spiritual reality makers around you have manipulated most of mankind into a spiritual and therefore physical reality that is causing them to be literally imprisoned in a society that is out to absolutely destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, so that they can have dominion over this planet. And you are trapped in this sea of waves and currents of thought, and you can't get out. And being more intellectual, studying more and more and more, and trying harder and harder to pull yourselves up out of this box by your own bootstraps, is actually causing you to descend farther and farther into the quicksand. You have to first be still and know that there is a God, there is a creative force that wants to give you life, that loves you. In order for that life and love to pass through you, you have to want to give life and love to others. You know, mothers experience this with their own child, but you have to do this to the point that not only your child do you love, but your neighbor's child as much as you love your own. Christ is giving you the key. Moses said the same exact thing. We saw Abraham doing the same thing with Lot. You take whatever field. You take the better field. You take the better path, whatever is easier, just so that we don't have enmity between us. And he's giving you a character, nature of God. That he's trying to save Lot, even though Lot is taking advantage at every opportunity. And Lot's family is just going to hell in a handbasket. But Abraham still wants to save him. Still wants him to be preserved. Is that your nature? Because if you don't get that nature in you, if you don't start moving with that nature, you're going to be swept away with this current that is sweeping mankind towards destruction. Actually, the current is so strong, it's actually creating its own destruction. We are financing, we see this with our stupid money systems, we're financing our own slavery. We're already, that is the evidence that we're already financing spiritually our own bondage now. That's why everybody's trapped in these churches. It's because they're swept away by this collective unconsciousness. Unconsciousness of God, but consciousness of self-righteousness. That's why all these 40,000 denominations are all right. They're all correct. And everybody else is wrong but them. Because they're seduced into this dark realm of self-righteousness. They don't love their neighbor as themselves, unless they're, you know, of the, well, I can't remember the name of the synod I was trying to think of, but we have to be still of that, let go of that. And one of the ways to start that is to start forgiving all the people that say bad things about us, abuse us, betray us, let us down. Just let it go. Believe there is a God. He'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Forgive so that you may be forgiven. Because then when you're forgiven, you can start coming out of this trap of thought that is creating this prison that you reside in, that is actually a barrel headed for Niagara Falls. Very thin wall barrel too at that. You have to let go and forgive that so you may be forgiven. Now, one of the things about creation, of this idea of creating with your own thinking and moving yourself from one place to another with your own thinking, is that you can't do this alone. You have to be tapped into a source of energy. We call that the tree of life. In order to be tapped into that, you must be compatible with its nature. That's what we mean when we say in the name of the Father. You have to be compatible with his name, his character, his spirit. And we're not. So what God does is he gives us little revelations, but we have to act upon them. And this is the frequency part of creation. Everything is frequency. You know, the table in front of you, that's just frequency. It's vibrations of tiny little, tiny, tiny, not even really tiny particles. Actually, you can get down to things that aren't even really particles. But it's all vibration of this what we call ether or whatever you want to call it. You get down to that vibration, it vibrates. If you're vibrating the atoms at a certain, what is it? Gold vibrates at 78,000 times per second or something like that. And you were to vibrate lead or iron at the same rate that you vibrate gold on an atomic basis, it would immediately become gold. They actually do this in reactors where they bombard lead until it becomes gold. It's highly radioactive. It's not very much. It's taken huge amounts of energy to do it, but you can actually transmute one atom into another atom by changing its vibrating level. So everything is vibration. Everything is frequency. And so that pattern of creation is repeated in every level of creation. And how does one manipulate those frequencies? Well, it's actually manipulated by thought. Well, I'm not interested in you turning lead into gold, but I'm interested in you starting to exist at the same level as God created you, and not the level at which you've fallen to. Again, give you another quick analogy to help you understand this, is that light is not the absence of darkness, but darkness is the absence of light. light vibrates. It's a frequency. So the problem is that you have degenerated to a level beneath that which God wished you to exist at. You have to get back up to that level, and you cannot pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You have to let what we call Christ into your hearts, and he will change that vibration. He will be that power. He will be that energy. You know, the Holy Spirit that Christ has sent, that will be our protector. That will begin to change our nature. We cannot change it, but we can allow it to be changed, but we have to make room in our hearts and in our minds for God through the Holy Spirit to enter into there. And then he will begin to open our eyes. But as we begin to open our eyes and we see something, we must act upon that thing which we have seen. We cannot stay in atrophy. And if you do not act, you cannot go to the next level. This is told in the parable of the talent. God gives a talent to this and two talents to this and three talents to this one. One buried that talent and did nothing with it and had that talent taken away from him, given to another. God came to give sight to those who could not see and to take away sight from those who say they see already. You see, so there's a principle here. So let's go back to that John 3:15. I think we've got a little bit of time to read at least the first part, but we'll give you the climax of this point after the break, because I see we're coming up on a break here. So that way I'll hold you in suspense during the commercial break. I guess that's a tactic used in modern TV and radio. It just so happens we're going to run out of that time. But that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, we've heard that from every single church. They all say that we have to believe because we're saved by faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, that everlasting life. When Christ was asked, what must I do to obtain eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. But I tell you this, you cannot keep the commandments without the Holy Spirit. But once you begin to have the Holy Spirit, you need to be keeping the commandments or you won't get any more. So this is what creates that vibratory reciprocation. You need to have this revolution of a concept, night and day, action and perception, perception and action. This is part of the principles of creation that we have forgotten. We are like pinballs going around in a machine. And we do not see where we're going. We have no control over where we're going. Other people are manipulating us because they're manipulating our thinking. Other things are manipulating us because they're manipulating our thinking. And we have no direction in life. We're just bouncing all over. In the Bible, we see tossed to and fro. And we're given an analogy of Christ being the rock. Well, this isn't the emotional Christ that people hold up. This is the real Christ, the real spiritual anchor that we need to be plugged into, that will give us confirmation and a firm reality that will not be tossed to and fro. So anyway, it's time for a commercial break, and I'll tell you the secret of creation and why man is still a creator if he plugs in the right way and to the right source, when we return after these words from our sponsor. So,
thank you. That was lovely.
We'll continue on with this explanation of how thought is a creative force in our lives, and how if someone controls our thinking, they can tap into the power that we should be using for good and use us for evil. And this is a common thing I see all the time. I see it in courtrooms. I see it on the streets. I've seen it in riots. I was in one of the San Francisco riots. I didn't know they were rioting, walking down the street, minding my own business early in the morning. It was after Martin Luther King had been shot, and I had no idea. And the streets were full of men who were rioting, and they saw me, and they gathered in a gigantic clump as I come walking down the street, and I walked right up to them, and they were just standing, you know, 20, 30 men deep across most of the street. It must have been a couple hundred people there, all men or young men and boys and what have you, but they're all bigger than me. And they were looking at me, and I saw there was anger and contempt in their eyes. And, you know, these men had been rioting, smashing windows and all this stuff, and I was completely oblivious to what was going on in the news or anything. And I stood in front of them, and I gazed back at them without contempt, without anger, without judgment, and they just parted. And it literally looked like an honor guard, an opening in this crowd of men, and they were crammed together at this point. They weren't scattered around the street. By the time I arrived at where they were standing in one solid mass, all completely across this wide, wide sidewalk in downtown L.A.'s near Fillmore and Eddy, and all the way out and most of the way across the street. And, of course, there was no traffic. I think it was a Sunday morning, if I remember right. And they were just crammed together, just a solid wall of bodies. And all of a sudden this pathway opened up between them, 4 feet wide, as if they were standing on straight lines on either side of this alleyway that they had created on the sidewalk. I nodded to them, and as I smiled and walked through the entire group, completely unscathed, untouched, no one yelled, no one threw anything, nobody moved except to open that pathway right through them. And they were shoulder to shoulder all the way down this pathway, probably 15 men on either side, and plus the hundreds of men that were behind each, you know, line or honor guard. And I just walked right through them. Well, what was going on there? What happened? Who was in control there? Was I in control? No, not me. I was completely stupid and naive. But I also was somewhat innocent at that time. And God protects us a lot of times with ignorance. Had I realized that supposedly my life was in danger, I might have believed that my life was in danger, and then it would have been in danger because I would have given power to them to act. They needed me to become angry. Ever watch a cat watching a bird? You know, he watches that bird. He needs that bird to become afraid to give him the strength to jump. Instead of jumping when the bird is not looking, he will actually wait till the bird sees him, become slightly frightened, and then he will have the energy to jump. The all universe, you know, all the predators in the universe want to get you on their level. If you stay on the level that God created you, if you go to that level, they will not have any power over you. They won't be able to kill you or imprison you or beat you or anything. I'm not saying that that isn't going to happen, because God may test the inclination of your spirit. Do you really believe this? Or have you just convinced yourself? So, like everything in the universe, where you have day and night, you have breathing in and breathing out, you have warmth and cold, you will have the presence of the Holy Spirit that will protect you at times. And other times it will withdraw its presence to test you. And that's part of the game. That's part of the process. Again, when you realize something that is spiritually awakening you, you need to act upon that thing. So let's go back to that quote. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. And the word world there means constitutional order or system of government. It really had to do with the Roman Empire and other governments like it that were in existence at the time. Roman Empire was one of the bigger ones at that time. But that the world through him might be saved. We're talking about the people, not a continuation of the destruction of the Republic of Rome through the autocratic rulers of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, the same thing that's going on in the United States, in Australia, Canada, and China, all over the world. He doesn't care about those governmental systems. They're all adversaries to Christ. They're all contrary to the ways of Christ. But he cares about the souls that are trapped in there. And if those souls were to receive the Holy Spirit and truth, those systems would lose all their power over them. And the fact is men are going to need that spiritual power in the days ahead. No planning, no intellectual calculation, no gathering together is going to protect you more than submitting to the Holy Spirit. Because you won't know what thought to think without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You'll be stuck in your tree of knowledge. So, for God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, is not going to be swept away. But he that believeth not is condemned already, before they're swept away, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And knowing the Son of God is knowing God. It's returning to the Father, and it's accepting the character of the Father in your heart and your mind. You can't do that unless you repent of the vanity that has brought us to this point to begin with. If Christians were being Christians, this country would not be in the problem and the trouble that it's in today. The world would not be in the trouble that it's in today. The threat is not Muslims. The threat is men who say they're Christians and are taking the name of the Lord in vain because they're not really Christians. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. If you don't act upon the truth you see, you will not come to the light and see more truth. It's a process. You have to act. What is it that those that hateth the light don't come to the light? Because they fear that they will be reproved, rebuked. If you look at that word, that's in, we're down to 3 John 20 at this time in the verse. But if you look at that verse, reproved is a word that's translated reproved, rebuke, convince, tell fault, convict. It actually means to convict or refute or confute. I've been in a scolding mood almost all day. If anybody's listened to the other programs, I've been rebuking people. And that rebuke is what we're told to do by Christ. But people who are so used to churchanity, and I have an email about ready to go out, had prepared it during the break. But basically, the reality is the ear ticklers have brought us to this state of euphoria that has brought the whole nation, the whole world, back into the bondage of Egypt, worse than it was in the bondage of Egypt. Millions die every day from abortion to what have you, disease and what have you, that are preventable if we were actually going the way of the Lord. And we're not. And so those things are having power, and they're creating the world around us. What we see is the problem, 90% of what we see as the problem is actually only the symptom of the problem. It's the result of the problem. Remember what it said there? Already condemned because they don't believe in Christ. What does it mean to believe in Christ? To believe in the truth, to believe in God, believe in the character of God, to have the character of God. One thing I know, God is patient. How patient are we? One thing I know, God gives life. How much do we give life? How much do we take life? People's imagination makes them think that they love one another when actually they're feeding off of one another through a system of benefactors who exercise authority. As I said, my I have a bunch of cats out here up in the barn, and they love quail. They just want to hug everyone they see. But they also want to devour them. That's not love. Real love is about giving life. I've never yet seen a cat give life to a quail or a mouse or anything else. they eat them up, but they love them. Most of the love we see today is that kind of love. And, of course, that kind of love, it's like Chinese food. An hour later, you're hungry again. And so what you call love becomes lust because you want more and more and more. People are coming to the network that we're creating, and they're coming looking for something that will satisfy them. Ah, that's an error. That's not God, right? God creates life, creates a universe. He didn't do this for what he can get out of it. He does it because in his nature he is giving. Give up your life so that you may have life more abundant. Don't come to the network for what you can get out of the network. Come to the network for what you can give to it. I mean, we hear these sayings, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask rather what you can do for your country. Maybe we put kingdom in there instead of country. But the reality is that everybody hears that because they knew that sounds really good, but who's doing that? You know, I didn't finish it, but the ear tickler minister doesn't want to cause any kind of commotion. They don't want to create any kind of a controversy. So they fail to reprove, to rebuke one another when we do stupid things or silly things or foolish things. They want to caress and ear tickle and back rub. No. You need to give them a good shake sometimes. Squeeze them. Give them, you know, a deep muscle massage. That's the kind of guy I am. I'm not going to mamby-pansy rub your back. I'm going to get down to the problem because we have to get rid of that problem. There is no easy way to say it. We have screwed up. We have gone down all kinds of paths that we shouldn't have gone down. And we need to turn around. We've become lemmings, running in a single thought towards a single direction that we have no idea. And the world knows that, oh, you might start waking up, so they give you a multiple choice of directions. You know, Democrat, you could be a Democrat. Oh, no, you could be a Republican. Oh, no, you could be a Libertarian. You know, Constitutional Party. It can be all these things, you know, so that you never... It's like 1984, it's like the book. They create the opposition so that you at least think you're a part of something. You have to be operating completely on another level. Completely on another level. And you need to find those other people that are doing that. Because they won't tickle your ears, they'll rebuke you if they see you stepping out of line. They will hold you to your word. Because we live in a cause and effect universe. The world you have today is the result of what you have been doing for the last 100 years. So don't think you can keep doing that and get a different result. You've got to do something, and you got to go all the way back to the origin of the problem, not just the last source of the symptom. This nation has become a great symptom treater, you know. Solve the symptom and you solve the problem. No, not so. Actually, what you really need is a little bit more of the same medicine you've been dishing out to your neighbors to make you wake up. We have been coveting our neighbors' goods through the agency of government since public school was instituted in this country. And we're surprised that now they're coveting our goods to provide them with health care and welfare and a communist state. We took a wrong turn a long time ago. And you can't just change your destination. You have to turn around and go back the other way. And until we can start taking care of each other without looking to the government, and the only way you can do that is to gather with the right kind of people. Not the people who are looking for somebody to save them or provide for them, but somebody who cares about their rights as much as we care about theirs. Which is what we have today, actually. in the world today, everybody cares about each other's rights as much as they care about anybody else's rights, which is zilch. They don't care about each other's rights. I've sat at these pity parties where people are complaining about the government doing this and doing that and arresting us and being unfair to us and on and on. Everybody's whining. And I stood up right in the middle and I said, look, the answer to this is you got to be there for him when he needs help. And you got to be there for her when she needs help. And the lady said, and it could have been the man, doesn't make any difference, says, well, I don't care about his problem. I just want my problem solved. And I said, you know, I can't help anybody in here with that attitude. I can't. I'm sorry. I was a little bit, actually, I didn't say anything right off. I was literally speechless. So you can imagine that was early on in this process of learning what we've forgotten. That is not the words of a free society. That's the words of somebody who should be a slave and will remain a slave and should be under tribute and probably should be abused a bit because they don't care about the abuse others may suffer. So you have to change your thinking, and you cannot change it on your own. But when you see something you're not doing right, change that. Do something about that. If you've done wrong to somebody, drop what you're doing and go and apologize. Tell them you're sorry. And then get back to work. And make recompense. If you've caused them a loss, try to make a recompense of what you've done. Why? So that you will begin to change. You will be given a new mind, a new way of thinking. And if you don't, I can't save you. Nobody else can save you. Because you haven't come to save others. You just came to save yourself. You know, I've said this on the last program, is that if you're not gathering with people who care about your rights as much as you care about your own, and not just say it, but actually you see them doing it. And if you are gathering with people like that, you absolutely no longer need Social Security or probably any other insurance program because you got each other. You can't even find people like that because we've gone so far away from that. But those people who are willing to turn around and start taking that step-by-step pathway back need to start doing that. And you need to do that by gathering together with real groups on the ground and start taking care of one another. You don't have to do it 100% yet, but you have to start moving in that direction. You know, gather together and ask, what can we do for each other? You know, we don't want to do the charity that's not charity. And that's one of the things that I've talked about, and I think we better put that in here right away because I can hear somebody not understanding what I'm saying. Charity that weakens the poor is the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. That in a time of affluence, they did not strengthen the poor. They created charitable systems that weakened the poor. So when we gather together and we want to do for one another, we do not want to do for the guy who does not want to do for himself. If the guy comes and he says, well, you know, I need help here and I need help there and woe is me and woe is me, well, buck up. Okay, first thing, ask him, what are you doing for anybody else? Well, nothing. Nobody ever done anything for me. Why should I do anything for anybody else? Well, there you go. That's now you found the source of the problem. Is that they're a selfish pig. And there's no reason in the world why you should be casting pearls to selfish pigs. You should tell them you're a selfish pig and you need to repent. If you want help from us, you're going to have to start helping others. And you're going to have to convince us that you're worthy of our time and energy. Because we're, as far as we can see, you're not working to set anybody else free. So therefore, you should not be free either. You should be in bondage because you don't love your neighbor as yourself. Are we being mean because we say that? We're being mean if we don't say that because they will remain under the strong delusion. Sometimes you got to slap them upside the face with the truth because just telling them ain't good enough. And we are in the mess we are because we're a bunch of rotten people. We're kind of good, but we're not really good. And we got to get really good. We have to really get our act together. We have to, You know, and that's why we created the network, so that people can meet each other. I can guarantee you that more than half of the people that are on our network, you probably don't want to have anything to do with. Except by dealing with them, you will know how to deal with the next and the next and the next. And what happens, it's just like mining for gold. You go out there and you shovel all kinds of gravel into the sluice. And the water runs over it, and it washes dirt away, and it washes gravel away, and then you flip that gravel over, and you peek through there, and finally you find a little color. So, yeah, most of the people on our network are just dirt and gravel. But there's some gold there, and we see it. But that gold's going to need some refining eventually. So I don't want them to get carried away if they think that I'm talking about them. Because there's a fire coming, and we're going to have to be tried in the furnace to see if the Holy Spirit is really with us. I tell you, all these analogies and metaphors that we see in the Bible, that's what we're facing on a real spiritual basis. If you don't change on that spiritual basis, you will not be able to handle the physical reality that's being created all around you. The world is about to go absolutely insane with a mass hysteria like you've never, ever seen before in the history of the world. Millions, billions will die. And there's not a thing you can do to stop it. The only choice you have is what side of the equation you're going to be on. And we're calling everybody to repent, turn around, go the other way. We're going to have a fall festival in September. Anybody who hears this program wants to be a part of that fall festival, join the network. Tell them you want to be a part of the fall festival. You got a talent, you got a skill, you got an ability. Come here and rub shoulders amongst these men and women that will be coming. There are probably going to be some angels. And it might behoove you to rub shoulders with them once in a while. Because, you know, that's what we're going to need to get through the days ahead. And there's also probably some fallen angels coming too. So be still and know that there is a God and that He can solve all the problems if you turn and follow His ways. And that's my message, and I'm sticking to it. So, Cheryl, how are things going here? We're just about to the end, and I feel like winding her up, so I thought maybe you had some more that you wanted to say or anything you wanted to ask. I guess we scared away all the callers.
No, actually, we've got a good, healthy chat room going. A lot of people that have stopped by to listen. So, any ranting and raving you did earlier today, it's fine.
Well, I don't know what it was this morning. I just woke up and I was ready to kick some spiritual rear ends around. I was in the mood, so. But anyway,
about the 100th monkey, it's one of the things that I have on my website to help people.
Oh, okay, it's a phenomenal story, but I can actually give you several other different examples of it. Even actually in watching blood cells in the human body, there's a collective consciousness to them, and they call it cellular communication. So this principle is repeated over and over again. So there's many, many different analogies and examples of it in nature. But, yeah, that is kind of an interesting story. But anyway, now I know we're getting up on to the end of the show. So.
Well, thank you again, once again, for joining us and sharing with us your wisdom and your perspective. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
You have a blessed day, and we'll see you next week, folks. Up next is the program Team Free State. So stay tuned.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.